Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 39th chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Shalrezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsakim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Shalrezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and brake down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him with the rest of the people that remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left of the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, "Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebushashban, Rabsaris, and Nergal-Shalrezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, I hope you hear a little bit of irony in this chapter. There are several things that point us to this irony. The first thing that we would remember is that there is irony in the beginning and in the end of the chapter, the disposition of Zedekiah versus the disposition of Ebed-Melech. You would not expect when a foreign invasion would overtake a capital city that the king would be slain and the servant would be elevated. And yet that's exactly what happened. It's ironic. It's a pointed irony on the part of the Lord to teach us that he brings up and sets down not according to man's wisdom, but according to his own purpose and grace. So in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 10, we have what Jeremiah had been prophesying all along, that the city would be besieged, surrounded, shut up, and then finally the walls would be breached, torn down, and the palaces torn down as well. At this point in the history, the temple of the Lord is spared, but it won't be for very long. At this point, however, it is. And so, all of the time that Zedekiah spent with Jeremiah, all of the instruction that Zedekiah received at Jeremiah's hand, not just Zedekiah, but all of the nobles, every one of them, they believed erroneously that they could put off the evil day. They believed that Jeremiah's prophecy, while he himself was a very credible prophet, still, they believed that somehow they would escape. Somehow it wouldn't come to pass. That the Lord would speak and not do. Isn't that a horrible ability that we as human beings have? To hear the word of God so very clearly and yet think it's really not going to take place? You say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? In many different ways. We think that we can gossip or receive and give an evil report and it's not going to hurt somebody. We think that we can speak evil of folks that are near and dear to us, to one another, and we can triangulate someone into a circumstance that they don't belong in and speak evil of someone and that it won't be a discouragement to holiness and obedience to our brethren. That we can somehow escape those consequences of not hearing the Lord. Children, sometimes you think that you can disobey your parents and there will be no consequences for it, that it will be okay with you. Aren't we able to rationalize away the evil consequences of not hearing the Lord? This passage reminds us that although the Lord, in his long suffering and patience, may set those consequences out a long way, they're still coming. Psalm 50 says what? I was patient, and you thought it meant that I didn't care, God says. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, these men say, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they have since the Father slept. It's not going to come. It hasn't come by now, so it won't. I sinned once. I got by with it. I'll always get by with it. What does God say in Psalm 50? No. I will set these things in order before your eyes. I will bring you into the judgments that I threatened. Here, Zedekiah thought that the evil day was so far away so as not ever to come. That, you know, he's still thinking what he did a few chapters back. Will the Lord not deal with us according to the greatness of his mercy? And it's that he's telling himself against the word of the prophet when the Babylonians come and besiege the city. Notice what it says. In the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. And they besieged it until the 11th year of Zedekiah in the 4th month. Nearly 18 months of siege and there's no repentance? What did they think? Did they think it was going to happen like it did before? That the Egyptians would stir themselves up? And that because the Egyptians would stir themselves up, that would call Babylon away for a second time? Is that what they did? Remember that Jeremiah told them, don't you ever think that. And yet for 18 months they stood firm against the king of Babylon and against the word of God. This reminds us just how stubborn we can be sometimes in the face of God's word and thinking that we can ignore it with impunity. We cannot. And it is a good thing when we are drawn under chastisement. It is a good thing when we suffer for our iniquity in this life, because we don't want to suffer for it in the next. Right? If the Lord tells you not to run with a multitude to do evil, listen to Him. If He tells you not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, understand that to set His counsel at naught is to present yourself and perhaps your friends and loved ones to chastisement and heartache. If He tells you that whispering brings strife and contention, that gossip is injurious, that to discourage the heart of your brothers and sisters in the way of obedience does damage to them and to the church at large, believe Him. There are many things the people of God are tempted to do because they seem expedient and respectable before the world. But the Lord says, don't. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And the way it's said in the New Testament, lest we think this is simply an Old Testament concept, whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. That's what the Lord says. What did Zedekiah sow? What did the nobles sow? They sold faithlessness. They sold oppression. They sold a stopping up of their ears. They sowed the stopping up of their ears before God's word. What did they reap? What did Zedekiah reap? Listen to Matthew Henry's comment. The king of Babylon ordered Zedekiah to have his eyes put out. So, condemning him to darkness for life, who had shut his eyes against the clear light of God's word and was of those princes who will not understand but walk on in darkness. Psalm 82. And then finally we note the just ways of the Lord in this section. Those who were the oppressed of the land, those who had their lands and their possessions taken away to support the siege of the city, they then were given lands and vineyards and oliveyards to take care of. Oh, sure, they would have to give tribute to the king of Babylon. We recognize that. But they were left at liberty. They didn't stay in the city, loyal to Zedekiah and his rebellious ways. They instead were given lands, vineyards, and oliveyards so that they might indeed continue their lives and their children's lives. So that's the first section. Now in the second section, we have the word of the Lord concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan. This is a very interesting thing. We don't know, we're not told in the passage, how that the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, knew that Jeremiah was telling the people of God throughout, go out and surrender to the king of Babylon. In other words, proved an ally to him and his efforts. We don't know how he knew that. There are several conjectures, and all of them, I think, are very interesting. The first, perhaps, is that he heard of the prophecies concerning the king's coming back to Jerusalem and is speaking to the people concerning the non-resistance that they ought to have. In other words, that everyone that fled to Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, there's a prophet in Jerusalem that's telling the people of God to surrender. When you take the city, remember him. Perhaps that was done. We don't know. We don't hear. But it's one option. Another option, perhaps it was the knowledge of Daniel and his ministry. You remember Daniel. And you remember that Daniel was studying the book of Jeremiah and that it was in the book of Jeremiah that he learned that the siege was going to be 70 years long, and that was the genesis of him writing Daniel chapter 9. Well, Daniel was certainly familiar with Jeremiah, and perhaps in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, he spoke often of him. Or perhaps it was respect for the Lord, as he expressed it in Daniel chapter 3. And so the Lord's prophet, he would also be forward to preserve. Well, it's hard to know, isn't it? But all of those things are possible. It may be a combination of all three. But at the end of the day, notice that Jeremiah is taken out of prison and elevated to go anywhere he wants. He's set at liberty. Zedekiah, who was at liberty, is caught on the way out of the city running for his life. Part of the irony. And then the other conclusion that we have here is the conclusion of Ebed-Melech, and we've talked about him before. His name means, Ebed-Melech means what? Anybody remember? Servant of the king. In other words, he became a servant to the king when he was a slave. It doesn't really tell us when he came from Ethiopia, whether he was first generation, second generation, so on. But notice he didn't even have a family name. His name is King's Servant. Come here. That's his name. Right? And yet in that day, it was better to be the servant of the king than the king himself, wasn't it? Because the Lord remembered that he believed in him. The Lord remembered his faithfulness. The Lord remembered Ebed-Melech's faith, that it was he who went and petitioned for Jeremiah to be drawn up, the Lord's prophet, to be drawn up out of the miry clay, that lest he should be left there to die. It was Ebed-Melech that went and took his life in his own hand before the king and petitioned him that he would indeed save his life, and was given leave to do so. And the Lord remembered. How many of you, along with me, are reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58? Right? Nevertheless, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, it may have looked bleak for Ebed-Melech for about the 18 months or so that they were under siege. But this is once again that historical proof that God is good to those who call upon his name. That there is no lack to them. Put far away the evil day, is how the prophet says it. It will come upon them unawares. But there will no evil come to those who call upon his name. What a great chapter 39. Let's stand and continue praising God then in the singing.